Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast. Hey, everybody. Mark and Steve here coming at you from the PBSC podcast today. It's good to be with you all today. We're excited for today's episode. We have listeners now all over the globe and have, I believe, listeners now in about 70 countries. And we're getting more and more emails from you all and appreciate those. And as we've talked about before, we always want to address those things on podcasts where we can. So we guide this thing in a way that's going to be helpful for you. We got an email this week from a listener. I'm just going to go ahead and read that to you, and then we'll go ahead and we'll kind of get into some of the dynamics with it and talk about what the subject matter is going to be today. So here we go. Hi there. I absolutely love your podcast. As a wife of a porn-addicted spouse, it has given me the brutal gut checks that I need in how to handle things and also validated so much of what I've been feeling and has given me the verbiage to help me communicate my feelings to my husband. It has also helped me understand this addiction more and the cycle of how/we continue to go through. We've been married for 20 years and are now in year 7 of his disclosure. He's on his second class now and we are on our third counselor. It has been a true struggle and I'm exhausted in this process as he is just now deciding to truly get motivated. Your latest episode hit the nail on the head. With all that said, there is one thing that I felt the need to email about. I can't remember which podcast it was, but you talked about how we will have an attraction and a chemistry for other people. I totally agree with that. However, as a wife in the specific process listening to that, I just cringed. I know my husband will think other people are attractive, just as I do. However, having an attraction to someone and a chemistry with someone else could indicate a closeness that shouldn't be there with a married man and wife, and in my opinion, is a very slippery slope with a sex addict. In my own experience, this will only justify my husband's flirtatious behavior, adding to the, quote, just being nice, unquote, excuse, and could possibly give way to keep a door open that does not need to be with the opposite sex. I have talked to the other wives in my group to see if I was way off, and they agreed with my concern. Due to the nature of our husband's addiction and their own justifications, denial, and deception that they live in and are trying to come out of, I know every situation in marriage is unique. However, in general, it raised our eyebrows a bit. Like I said, I know we will both think other people are attractive, but to us wives, that is way different than quote-unquote attraction and chemistry. Anyways, just food for thought. Thank you again for such an amazing podcast. I have listened to them all at least 3 times. That's very kind. So I really appreciate the email. And as you're probably gathering, we're going to revisit this concept of lust versus attraction, but also versus connection. We're expanding it a little bit this time to make sure that we're all on the same page with what this looks like. So we're excited to kind of jump into this. And we, in ever keeping with our goal to stay on time, Mark, we're gonna go right in and dive nose deep into it. So Mark's going to talk a little bit about some of his thoughts and experience with attraction and what that is.
Well, Steve and I really appreciated the email that we got expressing that. This is a tough issue, and it's especially tough when you're experiencing the trauma of betrayal. And this whole concept of, attraction is natural. You know, I'm going to notice people around me. I'm going to be attracted to certain people. But that's really hard to find the line on that, the boundary on it, especially when every time I notice my husband or my wife noticing people around us, it triggers me. Mm-hmm. And it's very painful for me. And that's legitimate, totally legitimate.
Yes.
You know, and I know that I had that impact on my wife for many years in my addiction, especially when we are in public places and I'm scanning or giving second looks or, you know, all the things that go along with that. And I also experienced some of that with my own deep insecurities when I would notice my wife noticing attractive men, right? Mm-hmm. And I felt some of that, and it's like a stab, and it just triggers all kinds of things. So we're gonna try to talk about that as much as we can today. But we just want to know, you who are listening, that we do understand how difficult this is, and we want to be sensitive, and we want to make sure that we're trying to address all the aspects of it. So let's talk really quick about attraction itself. Steve and I both agree, as we've talked about this, that we believe that, God built into you and me this sense of being attracted to things in the world around us, people and things. And so I can have an attraction to a beautiful sunset. I can have an attraction to a mountain scene, to certain kinds of art, to music, to all kinds of things that really grab my attention. And that attraction is based on a lot of things. It's based on how I was raised, on my environment, on my genetics, on all kinds of things that I naturally, tend towards and don't. There's dozens of factors that are going to have an impact on what I find attractive, who I find attractive. And so that in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's built into us. I believe it's by divine design. And it actually has a great deal to do with what I'm passionate about in life. You know, even being attracted to people around me will cause me to pay attention to them, to notice them, so that I can connect in healthy ways. And we're going to talk a lot about what connection is in healthy ways and unhealthy ways. And we're going to talk about, when do you cross the line from natural attraction to the place of lust? And we have a lot of really strong things to say about that, don't we, Steve?
Absolutely. No, we do. We have so much empathy for you spouses and for your relationships. And we do recognize, as was mentioned in the email, that every relationship's in a different state of flux. I would argue that addiction really doesn't alter that much from person to person. And so most couples have to deal with this dynamic at some point. But every relationship is at a different stage. A lot of what was brought up in this letter, I think, has to do with kind of what Mark talked about. There are two primary places where I think a lot of these feelings about lust versus connection versus attraction come from in our practices when we work with clients. And obviously, again, everyone's different, but usually, in my experience, it has to do with two concepts. The first is existing trauma, right? Either from prior relationships, prior circumstances, or from the current relationship, right? So there's this long history of betrayal or hurt or harm, which I think gives a spouse a natural averseness to anything that could even be, remotely construed or tied in with that. And then the other piece, which is connected to that, is a low level of trust in a relationship. We don't like to talk about that a whole lot, but it's important to honor and acknowledge that in most relationships in early recovery, trust is pretty low in most respects. There are, areas where that may not be the case, and that varies a little bit by couple to couple, but it's pretty rare for me to come across a couple in early recovery who doesn't have some serious trust issues with each other. And so there's also that issue that kind of comes out and oftentimes operates on some of these other things. So you take those, you mix in some personal and marital insecurity and some other factors, and you've got a pretty good recipe for some issues. Like Mark indicated, attraction to me, I totally agree with what he's saying. Attraction just is, right? When I think of attraction as a concept, what I think of is just like a hammer, right? It's just something that's there. It in and of itself isn't necessarily good or bad. It has the potential to do a lot of good. It also has the potential to do a crap ton of bad. And the way that how those interact, really, I look at it just like a tool, right? I can use a hammer to build a house just as easily as I can use a hammer to murder somebody. And both of them are, right? Both of them are options. They're not, one is one I'm going to gear towards, the other one I'm obviously not. But if we're going to have this discussion, we kind of have to look at it that way. Attraction in many ways is like a neutral party, right? For lack of a better term. Lust and connection are what, or lust and love, love, connection, somewhat interchangeable there, are what are the differences between what we do with that, right? If we look at lust, should we start with connection or lust, Mark? What do you think?
Let's start with lust. So, okay. You know, as we look at the concept of attraction, you know, how does it cross the line from healthy connection with a spouse, for example, and cross over the line into the realm of lust? And for me, lust is really a selective warping of attraction to meet my internal needs, right? Usually, as we've talked about, through escape and fantasy. It's a way to numb out or to compensate for all the difficult stuff that I'm facing in my life.
Yes.
It really comes down to this concept of how can I use this natural attraction that I feel and get it to a place of what's in it for me. How can this serve me in those times when I feel life is unmanageable, life is difficult, or I'm just feeling, you know, a lot of arousal or whatever's going on with me, and I now want to go to this selfish place, a self-centered, self-serving, it's all about me place, and that's really what lust is. And so, yeah, it started with attraction, but it quickly crossed the line into the place that we're describing. And so that's lust.
Absolutely. Well, I think some things to add to that too, just kind of in terms of characteristics, if we look at it and how it operates. One thing that is always inherent with lust is that it is always isolating and it cherry picks components of another person or another circumstance or whatever as a means to a selfish end, mm-hmm. right? So that oftentimes, like for example, in a sexual sense, like Mark talked about, attraction is a very global concept and doesn't necessarily relate to romance in relationships either. We need to acknowledge that too. Attraction happens in a platonic relationship just as much as a romantic one. When I was in school growing up, I had, you know, 30, 40, 50 kids in a class. There were 25 of us growing up in a neighborhood. And for whatever reason, I spent most of my time with two or three of them, right? There was an attraction there. We had a lot of common interests. We lived in the same neighborhood. Maybe we liked some of the same things. You know, there were lots of factors that played into that. But me being pulled towards those people versus another, again, doesn't make it good or bad. This just happens kind of across the spectrum. But if we get back to lust and we talk about some of its attributes, the first is that, like we said, it is isolating and it strips away those other things. We've mentioned on the podcast before this concept as objectification, right? So it's pulling away another person's humanity, stripping that away, for lack of a better term, and placing an emphasis in the case of what we're talking about here today on the sexual realm, right? What can this person do for me sexually? How does this relationship interact with the quality or the content of the sexual piece? So it's very much focused on that. It also, lust always will come at the cost of other relationships, either with self or with others. That relationship with self that we talk about is mindfulness, right? That's that ability that we have to connect with other people and more importantly with ourselves. Lust is escaping from that. It's pulling away. It's withdrawing from that. It's doing the exact opposite. I'm not present with self when I'm in fantasy. The two are opposite ends. They can't coexist. Lust is always, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, as you talk about that, I like this concept of it comes at the cost of other relationships because, you know, guys in addiction and a lot of guys taking a worldly approach to this would say, you know, well, it doesn't hurt anybody. I mean, yeah, I'm flirting with the gal at the office. What's the big deal? She likes it. I like it. You know, so what? Except for the fact that when you have to pull into this equation, how is this affecting others? you know, yes, namely your spouse, you know, as a primary example.
Sure.
And so we get into this part of lust that basically it's always a matter of taking. Even when it seems that there is giving, and this is a really important concept that I want to really draw attention to for you guys out there. It is easy for us, especially in addiction, and when we're in recovery, to go into this place of rationalization and justification about our behaviors with regard to lust. Well, you know, I mean, I was just being nice. I was just engaging in a friendly conversation. I mean, you know, how is that bad? And right, so here comes this rationalization, and it's all about, for me, it is your intent. Mm. What is your intention? And this is where self-honesty becomes a big deal. If you're going to be in serious recovery, you have to come to the place where you're willing to step back and honestly ask yourself, stepping into highest self, stepping into an alignment with higher power, with God, what is my intention in this moment? If I strip away all the justification and rationalization, what am I trying to do? What am I really trying to do? Am I really just being nice, or am I being flirty? Am I looking at that little tantalizing line and bringing myself right up to it to see how close I can get without actually crossing over into something inappropriate or lustful, you know? So this concept of intention within yourself, it was so important for me for real recovery, where I had to get honest. You know what? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times where I'm just saying I'm being nice or just treating her with respect. And you know what? My intention, I crossed the line. I know what my brain's about. And yep, it's now gone into the place of, you know, the beginnings of lust. And can you get to where you can have that kind of self-awareness and self-honesty and admit it instead of making excuses and rationalizations about it?
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
Oh, totally. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the main points that the main point of our podcast today is to address some of these concerns, because we know that the listener submitted this, she's not the only one who feels this way. We get this concern oftentimes from wives in our practices after we meet for the first time and discuss it. There are always questions and things to go back to. If I'm looking at this from a perspective of a spouse, and I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of the sweet wife who wrote this out of concern for herself and some of these other women in recovery with her. This chemistry concept is talked about a couple of times in that email, right? And again, the chemistry piece, a lot of this has to do, I think, with semantics, right?
Yeah, yeah.
and maybe some of these concerns in terms of, you know, attraction versus chemistry being labeled as something else. Because again, attraction and chemistry don't speak to anything active to me. Those are just things in the environment that come up. Again, I'm just attracted to who I'm attracted to or what I'm attracted to. But I think it is important to note that there is that mindfulness piece is a prerequisite for being able to have a discussion like this with your spouse. It's one of the reasons why, if you remember, podcast number one, we started having you guys journal. It's the best way to cultivate mindfulness. And the reality is, and this is not an excuse, this is simply just reality, most men at the beginning of this process are so disconnected and so out of tune with themselves and what's going on around them. And their concept of what attraction is or love is so warped because of pornography and their past behaviors, they're not even able to see this. This isn't even a concept that really
totally
resonates.
True. Hey everybody, Mark and Steve here. Are you looking to take your recovery and your marriage to the next level?
We work with individuals and couples one-on-one.
With both in-person and online therapy options, you have access to the experts anytime, anywhere.
To learn more, visit us at pbscpodcast.com.
Guys, I know this is difficult for you, because I have so many guys say, man, my wife just gets on my case, because every time my eyes look at a gal in public, you know, she's just so upset. Well, that's a result of trauma. That's a result of betrayal. It's a result of trust being, you know, lowered to a really low level or a non-existent level. It's a result of your behaviors and choices over time. And of course, she's going to respond that way. But when I hear the word chemistry, I know a lot of people out there in our society think, well, yeah, we had real chemistry, right? Mm-hmm. I saw her and, you know, our eyes met across the room and fireworks went off. And when Steve and I talk about natural attraction and chemistry, that's not what we're referring to. No. We're just referring to regular chemicals in the brain that naturally cause us to notice and to see other human beings. And there are chemicals that we release that make us social. We're social beings by our very design. And in fact, it's fascinating that the greatest amount of real estate in the human brain, if you break it down, is dedicated to sociality. It's yep. how we're built. And so when Steve and I say attraction and chemistry, it just means what is naturally part of us that causes us to notice and see other human beings. Not this, yeah, we really had something, you know, we're a real item, we have a chemistry. That has crossed the line. That's no longer the place of just regular natural human attraction. We're now over into the place of lust and something being inappropriate, right? If I'm a married individual. So we want to be really clear on the use of that term chemistry.
Sure.
I think what we were talking about and how it could be very easily and legitimately interpreted was different.
Sure. Well, and I think that probably the best way to maybe talk about this for just a minute would be through the lens of, you know, Mark, you and I having been to this place of this headspace where a lot of these husbands are now, right? Yeah. This listener's husband being among them, to where we are today. Maybe if we talk about kind of the differences between some of those, maybe that'll demonstrate what we're talking about.
So
go ahead.
Jump into the place of connection.
Well, not even just the place of connection. So I'm going to go for the throat even more and put us on the spot a little bit because I love doing that, right? So I had a client some time ago who got really honest with me and asked a question that probably most of my clients, I think wonder, but they either don't feel like it's appropriate to ask or they don't want to make it awkward. I don't know. But I believe it was a female in this case. And she just said, so how do you, I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, Steve, but I mean, you're a recovering sex addict. Like, how do you have healthy relationships with women now? Mm. Right? And it's a valid question, especially in the light of what you and I do professionally.
Yeah.
A lot of people, that gives real pause. They're like, whoa, 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 you're a recovering sex addict. And you're talking to women about really intimate personal things, establishing really intimate connections. Right? That kind of makes me nervous. I'm sure that some, I don't know if a husband's ever told me, but I'm sure some husbands, that would probably make them a little mm-hmm. bit leery. If the situation were reversed, it'd probably make me leery like it did you.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of time, right? And so let's talk about that for a second. I work with, speaking for myself, I work with very attractive women, both physically and emotionally and intellectually, almost every day. Well over half my clients are female. Virtually and in person, and many of them are very attractive people. But here's this concept in practice, right? Attraction to anyone that I meet, be it at the grocery store or be it a client, does not have to become lust based, right? Again, we're just drawn to people. Some clients I work with, we just jive really well, and it's platonic. It's not even romantic. I have some guys that I work with who I just work well with and we have a good working relationship, but we probably wouldn't hang out on the weekends. I have other guys that if ethically it wasn't inappropriate to be buddies with your clients, I'd probably hang out with them and go do stuff with them. Just because we click, they've got very similar interests. We operate the same way. And so for me, when I'm with female clients, and I'm saying this hopefully because this will help you see what a husband's going to have to do, because whether you work in Mark and I's profession or anywhere else, that risk is always present, right? If you don't have solid boundaries and you don't have a good grasp of these concepts, there is always a risk for something inappropriate or destructive or awful happening. And so I run myself through the same litmus test, right? Of how is attraction working for me? I feel like I'm a pretty mindful guy. And so I'm able to notice that pretty readily. And I'm able to, as Mark indicated, right, be able to channel that into the connection in the in within the therapeutic setting, right? So I'm able to be present with the client. I'm able to joke around with them when it's appropriate because I kind of get their sense of humor. I'm able to cry with them and be close with them that way when they're really struggling. All those things come from a healthy sense of attraction.
Well, now, go ahead. What you're describing with that, I think is really important because it's a full appreciation of another mm-hmm. individual. See, exactly. When we think of attraction, we exactly. have a society and a culture and a media that always wants to make that instantly sexual.
Yes.
But sexual attraction is one tiny little part of an attraction we have to each other as human beings.
Correct.
And so connection, the way we're able to do that in our practices as professionals, because you're right, we get into all kinds of very intimate things. And it's like, how do you hold the line? Well, we've practiced and worked at having a full appreciation, a full perspective and view of this other human being. It's not just sexual or physical appearance or body parts. There's so many other aspects of one another as human beings. And yeah. a big part of connection is getting into the place where we become familiar with that, and that becomes the norm rather yes. than this sexualized society that wants, right, the sexual part to be all and end all of everything. It's yes. it's been a brainwashing. It's been a really unfortunate part, of our culture, and it's sure. missing nearly every aspect of real connection. It's a yeah. tiny sliver of what it actually is. And I think one of the great things about you and me and our work is we get to experience real, full, broad, wonderful, holistic connection.
Yes,
with other human beings, men and
Absolutely.
Women.
Totally.
And it's awesome. Once you discover, you're like, wow, there's all these other areas and ways to connect that have nothing to do with the sexual aspects. Wow, yeah. I was missing that for like most of my life.
Absolutely. There are lots of really hard parts to, I think, our jobs, but that's probably the part I like the most, honestly. Mm. It's just being able to be able to, just when you're in a vulnerable space with another person, that's when magic happens.
Yes.
And if you take these healthy concepts that we're talking about and we're going to keep talking about, and you pair it with healthy boundaries, which is like 2, 3, 4 episodes ago, so we're bringing back to that, great, awesome, amazing things can happen. And that channeling can really take place. Kind of going back to this email, because I want to make sure we're addressing this listener's concerns as much as we can without talking to her in person. I totally can get behind and empathize with that fear. Like Mark, if I was in a similar situation, particularly in the thick of things, I probably would feel the same way.
Oh yeah.
It would be really, really difficult to not be leery or even to just demonize attraction, right?
Totally.
But Mark and I, and again, we recognize you guys are in different places in relationships, but we care about our listeners and our clients too much to give you half the story. And the reality is that long-term recovery means being able to move to a place where we can honor the healthy components of this concept while demonizing the unhealthy rather than just labeling it all as the enemy. Yes. If I'm working with a guy and I shame or attack his attraction for other women, I'm attacking him as a person. There's no way to distinguish those because, as Mark mentioned, and I fully back it up, at the seat of everyone's addiction or issues, there is addictive issues underneath all of it. Part of the roots to that, obviously, there are a lot of negative roots. There's trauma, there's abuse, there's narcissism, there's mental health conditions, there's all sorts of things that lie at the roots of a guy's addiction. But part of those roots is that God-given connection that we're talking about. And demonizing attraction, again, it puts a guy in a place where he can't recover. Because I'm setting an impossible standard. If I'm not in that place where I'm able to, you know, be connected and be mindful, and I'm not able to have good boundaries, and obviously this is going to be a difficult concept. But as long as I'm in a place where I'm able to have those things again, it can be a blessing and an enhancement.
And I have an example of that. So I actually tried what you're describing for years. I got to the place where I said, you know what? I can't be attracted to anyone. Mm-hmm. I have to shut off all attraction.
Yep.
Because I can't control it. Always leads to bad places. As you've joked in the past, you know, you even get to the place you're like, okay, I think I'm just going to go in for, you know, a castration. Totally. I just want it all to go away.
Well, we joke about that, but don't most guys, I mean, I felt that, like I'm being kind of facetious, but I really got to the point where it's just like, man, sex is ruining my life. Attraction's ruining my life. It's the enemy, yep, right?
Just make it go away.
Yep.
And what I discovered in all that is as I tried to do that approach, and I did, I found that it started to have a really detrimental impact on my relationships as a whole.
Yes.
It took my passion, the passion out of me for any connection, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And so I and it made me cold and isolated and disconnected and distant and quiet. And it just kind of took my passion out of being with other human beings. And what I found is it isn't an all or nothing. It isn't, you know, clear cut like that. God gave us that attraction and the noticing of other people for a reason.
Yes.
We tied it all to sexuality and we've missed all the other components of it. Mm-hmm. And as I started to discover that, it was really a remarkable transition. And so as we talk about connection and its difference to lust with regard to attraction, right? Connection is, it operates within relationship boundaries.
Yes.
It doesn't come at the cost of other relationships, either with yourself or others, right? It's an equal, transparent, mutually beneficial giving and taking. Both people in that interaction are built up and edified and uplifted. Mm-hmm. If I'm lusting, what I just said doesn't apply. I'm not uplifting that other person. They're not edified and built up. It isn't mutually beneficial.
It's all about me.
It's all about me.
Right? Always taking, you know, even when there's giving, in a lust-based relationship, there's an ulterior motive.
There is, as we said, right? What's your intention?
Yep.
And I'll tell you, here's one thing that I'm so passionate about, and I know it's because of my own experience, but as I started to make this transition from lust to connection and managing and directing and focusing my natural attraction, I realized in addiction that I was horribly immature. It's like, here I am an adult man, you know, well into my 30s, 40s, even early 50s, and I'm acting like I'm in junior high. Right? Yeah. My hormones are raging and I just have this attraction and I'm looking at everybody and checking everybody out. And it's like, wait a second. Holy smoke. I'm a man. I've given myself in a very sacred commitment to this woman, my wife. The verse comes to mind when I was a child. I'm going to say when I was a hormone raging teenager, I acted in hormone raging teenager ways. But when I became a man and committed myself in a marriage relationship to my wife, I put away those childish things.
Sure.
And I had to come to that place to admit, you know, I'm really behaving in some juvenile ways. And I need to be willing to give that away and to practice and develop these new skills and to learn connection, real connection, and to let the place of lust go. And absolutely. It took me quite a while to even learn the difference between those two. Because I was kind of clueless in some ways, right?
Well, and I think, like we've been talking about, right? That's a journey for everybody to figure out. But for an addict, it's really difficult because you're up against so much brain reprogramming from pornography and other sources and, you know, past misconceptions and all sorts of things.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It makes it impossible to do that. One last thing I wanted to hit on for sure as we wrap this thing up that stuck out to me from this email from our listener. You know, healthy recovery involves a balance of a lot of things. And I know that as a spouse of an addict, the natural desire is to either want to try and control or shield or protect a spouse from certain things, right? In an effort to help them work their recovery or to stay safe in their recovery process. And as I go through this email and as I'm looking through this, there's one other thing that I would say with that. And again, wives do this from a place of love. You know, spouses do this from a place of love. When my wife was engaged in some behavior that was enabling for me or that was not holding me accountable in some respects, it was always from a place of love.
Definitely.
But it wasn't, but it, nevertheless, it still wasn't healthy. because the more you try to take ownership or protect a spouse from different areas or elements of not just the addiction, but, you know, the healthy side of recovery, what I would say is, the long story short is, I think you got to be really careful not to take ownership or place ownership on others for what your husband does with his stuff. Because he's the only one, right? At the end of the day, you're the only one that can decide, hey, I have, again, this attraction, these feelings, or this quote unquote chemistry. What do I do with them? And that's not anybody's job to run or regulate, be it yours or be it mine as a therapist to a client or as a guy putting out this podcast for everybody listening. It's on the addict's responsibility to take ownership for his actions, right? He can blame or throw under the bus this concept of chemistry or attraction. And there's much more to say about this another day. But yeah. I would say if he makes that choice, you have to let him. It's not your job to try and convince him differently or to make him think differently. Remember, there are three recoveries going on. And first and foremost, you have to focus on yours. And well, go ahead.
This kind of brings us, because we already went past our time.
Yeah.
This brings us to this, to the final assignment. And I think it's dead on with what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, what we encourage you to do is, when we say it's on him, you know, if he's going to go around justifying and rationalizing with little flirtations and, you know, all these little things, that doesn't mean it's okay.
Of course.
Because there needs to be a discussion about boundaries. Right? Absolutely. What are my needs from you? What are your needs from me? So we encourage you, as the assignment part of this, to sit down and talk about with one another in a very vulnerable, open, raw way. What do we both think about this concept of attraction, you know, generally speaking, and then lust and connection? What does that look like for me as an individual? I need you as my spouse to understand where I'm coming from with this. And then you also express those things coming from your vantage point. And now you start to talk about boundaries. All right, what are the boundaries? What is appropriate and what is not? Talk raw and real about the things that you may be doing that really bug me, that really set me off, that really trigger my trauma. Mm-hmm. And have a raw, real discussion about how that works. Get it out on the table. Because too often we just sort of quietly let it percolate under the surface, and we just get more and more angry and more bothered, and then we erupt, where we can come together to just talk about it in a very transparent way. Difficult to do, but so necessary to try to come to a place of understanding.
Absolutely. Well, because the end goal here, guys, like I said, is so much bigger than just, it's so much bigger. That's why we approach this thing the way that we do, is when we have, with our training and our experiences, because our goal is not just to get your husband to quit touching himself or to quit having an affair or for you guys to even just get along. The goal is for long-term marital connection happiness, right? With self, with God, with your partner. And that involves getting you guys on equal footing. And if you notice, you look at our assignments, most of those are geared towards doing that. Towards moving you guys towards a place of being able to meet as equals and say, hey, here are my thoughts about this. What are your thoughts about this? And then also saying, here, I'm going to own these parts of, going back to taking ownership, right? Here are the parts of recovery that I need to own and the things that I need to be doing, but here are the parts that you need to be owning and doing.
Yep.
You can use whatever justification you want to do X, Y, or Z, but at the end of the day, if it still results in you acting out or going to a place of lust, that is, I'm going to let you own that. I'm going to do that. And it's scary and I don't want to. And it gives me a lot of fear, but that's why he's supposed to have a therapist. Please call us. That is why he's supposed to have a sponsor. We can talk more about that. And that's why you need both of those same things as well. So that you go, both can be guided in this process individually and be able to show up for each other so that you can do therapy the right way, do recovery the right way, and not that it'll ever truly stop, but you guys can get to a good place where you're maintaining.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, I guess that's all, right, today?
That's it.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
That's all for today. Thanks for joining us. And remember, the opposite of addiction isn't sobriety, it's connection. Together, we can do the impossible.
To learn more about Mark and Steve and to listen to more podcast episodes, visit us at pbscpodcast.com. Everything expressed on the PBSE podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.